What a great message around the communion. The good, you know, the best thing about our communion is that it's a testimony of what Jesus has done. And so, Chloe, thank you so much for bringing that. Let's give Chloe a hand this morning for that good message. And thanks, guys. You can take a seat for a little while. So good to see you in church this morning. And we have some visitors here from Bendigo. So welcome to church today. Thank you for joining us at our 10:30 a.m. service. And if it is your first time with us today in church, we want to give you a very, very warm welcome and pray that the Holy Spirit really speaks to you today, whatever your experience is. So just before we move on, I just want to say a great big thank you to Kimberly. She's on the multimedia today, she helped me out greatly this week because I did a wedding last year in Victoria and they lost the papers. And so I was like, what do we do now? I had to find some receipts, and Kimberly does administration here, does all our MasterCard dockets, and was able to find the receipt from the post office from back then. And so great administration skills there, Kimberly. Let's give her a hand for that. So was able to prove to Birth, Deaths and Marriages that they received the documents and they lost it. So we were able to register this marriage after that. So they've been living in sin, I think, since then, but they're good now. They're all registered now. So turn to someone and say, good morning. So, and if you are watching online as well, big welcome to you. Thanks for joining us this morning online. I want to teach this morning on some foundations of the Holy Spirit. So I want to get some things across to you that I hope will really help bring clarity to the Holy Spirit in your life. So when we think of the Holy Spirit, getting straight into it this morning, it's not an intellectual knowledge that I'm wanting you to understand. So I'm not trying to teach you something about the Holy Spirit, but I want you to experience the Holy Spirit. So there's one thing to have an intellectual understanding about things, and we're going to look at today. The Holy Spirit is a person who wants to have a life involvement with us. So going to the Old Testament, the Jews were commissioned by God to celebrate Passover. So every year they were told, you've got to remember this Passover, which commemorates the time they were in Egypt and the death angel came and killed all the Egyptian firstborn, but the Jewish people were spared. And God said, remember this time. And we call this a time of Passover, where God passed over the people of Israel and put judgment on the Egyptians. So after that, it said, God said to commemorate 50 days after Passover. So every year you celebrate Passover and then count off 50 days and have another festival, which is also known as the Festival of Harvest or Pentecost, which Penti means 50. So it's counting off 50 days after that. You find that in Leviticus 23, verse 15 and 16. So the significance of that is that God had planned things from those days when the people of Israel were first coming out of Egypt. He already had in mind his plan of the Holy Spirit in the church and in our lives. So we see the very first Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection. So they've been having these celebrations ever since they left Egypt. Jesus told his disciples, stay in Jerusalem, stay together and wait until you're filled with power. So they did what they were told and they were waiting and they were praying together, and it says suddenly the Holy Spirit was in the room and filled each one of them. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 to 4, one of the most powerful examples of a God encounter that the people of Israel had. By the way, welcome Leanna to church this morning. I wondered who that girl was in the front. It's you. So Acts chapter 2 verse 1 to 4, three significant things happened in that first encounter where the Holy Spirit was poured out. So I will say, I didn't say this in the first service, but I'll say it today. The Holy Spirit was the power that filled people in the Old Testament. So it was the power that gave Samson his incredible strength. It was the Holy Spirit that was in Moses' parents, who said, we're not going to throw our baby in the Nile and let the crocodiles eat him. We're going to protect him. So it was the Holy Spirit all the way through in people's lives that that caused the purpose and the plan of God to be outworked. And what God always had in mind was a day where people could be filled and living with the Holy Spirit every day. And that's the day that we live in today. So three things happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Number one, it says there was a sound from heaven like a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house. So it's like a cyclone type wind was heard as a manifestation at that time of the presence of the Holy Spirit was filling this place. The second thing it said, tongues of fire appeared above their heads. So it was like a physical manifestation that looked like fire was resting upon every single person in that room. The third thing it says, they all began speaking in other languages. And we would call that speaking in tongues today is one interpretation of that. So that's why churches that believe in the gifts and operation of the Holy Spirit are called Pentecostal. And we are a Pentecostal church. We're a church that believes in the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we believe in things like that you can be born again. And Jesus said you must be born again. So we believe in that. And we believe that we can speak in tongues. We believe in miracles and healing. And we believe Jesus is returning for his church. One of the most important doctrines that we need to teach about and keep in mind is that Jesus is coming back for his people. Something we don't often preach about anymore, but we preach it often here, because when we realize that, hey, Jesus is coming back for his church, we're going to live differently and behave differently and say, I want to be ready for Jesus to come back. So what I wanted to say about that experience, I said we don't want to have an intellectual knowledge of the Holy Spirit, we want to experience him, is the Holy Spirit is a person who wants to have a relationship in our lives, and we can't just have an intellectual perspective, but we need to have a relationship that is real. So the scripture describes the Holy Spirit in personal terms, not as an impersonal force. So we might think, well, the Holy Spirit is the force of God, but he's not a force. It's not just a power. It's not just an energy. He's a person. So the only way to get to know someone is to meet them. Have you ever known someone from a distance? You can know someone from television. You can know someone from the newspaper or from Facebook. But doesn't mean you actually know them. So the only way to get to know someone is to meet them and have time with them. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. You can know of him or you can know him. And what I want to encourage you today is to know the Holy Spirit. He wants to know you too. So the title of this message, and maybe we might get into a series on this, is Pure Oil. And so what I love about the Bible is it intersects. The Old Testament, the New Testament, everything in between, it all connects and all has descriptions and all has a relevance all together. And so we see how it all combines and comes together to give us metaphors and examples of spiritual things all the way through the Bible, and they all intersect and connect. So we're going to do some intersecting and connecting today of some of the Old Testament, not theories, but ideas that are then made relevant by the day in which we live today and the working of the Holy Spirit among us in the church. So it says here in Leviticus 24, verse 1 to 4, the Lord said to Moses, command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to keep the lamps burning continually. So he's saying you need to have some fuel, and the fuel to keep these lamps burning is oil. It's pure olive oil. And then he says, Aaron, who is a priest, he must keep the lamps burning in the Lord's presence all night. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation. Aaron and the priests must tend to the lamps on the pure gold lampstand continually in the Lord's presence. So imagine if it read like this. The Lord said to Moses, Tell the people if they feel like it, occasionally bring contaminated oil, use some sump oil, just do anything, and use that for the light, for the lamp. And the lamp can go out whenever it runs out of oil. Aaron and the priests could sometimes tend to the lamps on the pure gold lampstand if they have nothing else to do. The lamp in the tabernacle was to be kept burning. It wasn't a casual thing. It was, well, you know, you forgot about it today. You got a little bit busy. So don't worry about it. Light her up tomorrow or next week. So the application for us today is there is a light in you that must be kept burning. There is a spiritual element in your life that God wants to have pure oil burning within you that brings light not only to your life but to the life of others. So we need pure oil that keeps the lamp burning, that keeps the fire pure. So it says in Luke 11, verse 33 and 36, no one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight were filling you with light. Now, the Holy Spirit that we're looking at is the oil that keeps the light burning within you. Be filled with light, and your whole life will radiate like a floodlight. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit that delivers the power of God into your everyday. And we should desire that presence of the Holy Spirit to be the pure oil that comes from heaven that illuminates our life into the world. So being Pentecostal, so we've just looked at where that term Pentecostal comes from. It comes from that first Pentecost when the disciples were together in one place and the Holy Spirit was poured out. So we refer to that expression as Pentecostal or Pentecost. So what does it mean to be Pentecostal? I think the most important factor that we can easily gloss over is they were all together in one place at this time. All the believers were together in one place. Could you imagine? I think the first thing, we'd be in trouble here. If we had every person who says that One Heart Church is their home, if they all turned up at once, we'd have nowhere to put them. They wouldn't fit. But all this time, they were all together in one place. Now, to experience the flow of the Holy Spirit, be together, and call it one heart if you want to, but it's not a gimmick, it's a truth. The most Pentecostal thing the church can do is to be in unity with each other. It's not just coming together in the same place at the same time. It goes a little bit more spiritual than that. It's having the same vision, the same goals, the same desires, and the same vision and direction. And so there's something powerful that happens when we're praying for the same things, when we're believing for the same things, when we're sowing into the same things. And that's where that manifestation of the Holy Spirit comes in full power, is when people are in unity together. And I just want to encourage you, find ways to find unity in your church. And you'll see the Holy Spirit moves powerfully where people dwell together in unity. It talks also in the Old Testament. It says, where brothers, you know this one, where brothers dwell together in unity, their God demands a blessing. It says, like the oil again, the pure oil that flows down the robes of the priest, over his beard, down his head, right to the very ends of his garments. And that's an illustration of the working of the Holy Spirit through the church. So all I can say is, don't waste your life complaining and fighting against your church, because you could be the fly in the ointment that stops the flow of the pure oil that's going to change the world around you. I want to be in a church that is changing the world around us. So choose to be in unity. Be in the prayer times. Be in the fasting times. Be in the special times in the life of your church are to bring about the presence of God in a greater measure. Who knows, when we get to that place of unity where we may one day hear the sound of a mighty wind, that we may see manifestations of a supernatural kind descending upon every person, when we have that unity of spirit in our lives and it makes a huge difference. So to, you know, I think the most Pentecostal thing anyone can do is be in unity in your church with other believers. I think it's strange. Some people say that they love the presence of God. There are people who, you know, I meet them a lot, and they kind of just, they're floaters or they're butterflies, float from place to place, and they say, oh, we just love the presence of God. So they'll turn up when every guest ministry's on. They'll turn up when there's special meetings. They'll turn up, oh, we just love the presence of God. We just love that. But I haven't found a church that really is good enough for me yet. I haven't found a church that's just right enough yet. I haven't found the Goldilocks church, so to speak. But I'll tell you something, if you love the presence of God truly, you will love the presence of his people. And you'll find a place to belong despite the differences that you might have. Naturally, you want to find a place where you say, spiritually, I align. I align myself in the spirit for what God wants to do in me and through me and to the world around me. Because God's not just interested in your life, he is 100%. But he also is interested in others who you can reach, who you can bring into an experience. So if you love the presence of God, you'll love the presence of his people. So the Holy Spirit isn't a casual thing to pick up and put down like a part-time hobby. He is a life source, a person, the presence of God among us. There is oil to have of the Holy Spirit kind that you want to experience, that God wants you to experience. God wants to pour into you. So Bill Johnson says this: the oil in the tabernacle illuminated the table of the presence with the bread on it. I'll just make an explanation. So in the tabernacle, there was this lamp that we've been talking about, full of oil, and light would go forward onto the table that had the bread of the presence. Remember, what the bread represents is the word of God, which is Jesus Christ. So when we have the burning of the pure oil in our lives, it helps to illuminate the word of God. And so we should desire, God, I need your illumination of your word, the pure illumination that brings revelation out of the word to my everyday situation. So the Holy Spirit oil in you, this is back to Bill Johnson. The Holy Spirit oil in you, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, illuminates the presence of God in you. Therefore, you must tend to it continually. Remember, Aaron and the priest had to tend to the pure olive oil continually. He goes on to say, in simple terms, it just means that there are things you can't see, understand, or want without that fullness of the Spirit in you. So I want to tell you something. When we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, it begins to change the things that we think we want and need. It begins to bring a new perspective, a new understanding, a new revelation of life and living and what's really important and what we could do without. And I want to encourage you, church, be a Spirit-filled church. Be a church that has God's dominion in your forethoughts, not in your last thought. So Paul says it like this, 1 Corinthians 2. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I want to tell you something. Let's start to imagine some God imaginings. Let's start to imagine what God, through the Holy Spirit, wants you to imagine. Because we can't imagine it, we can't see, we can't understand. So you might have some vision for your life. You might have some desires for the future. But I want to tell you something. You start to apply the Holy Spirit into your life and start to allow some imaginings that you could never imagine over yourself. Because with God, your future is far greater than you could ever imagine for yourself. So you know, I know a lot of churches do Vision Sundays and all these things. I think we need to have an Imagine Day where we start to propel forward in our lives. Just imagine what God would want to do. Just imagine what God would do. And the way in which we're going to start to imagine those right imaginings is when we allow the pure oil of the Spirit to be in us, burning in us, that illuminates the Word of God for your future. Well, you could start with illuminating the Word of God for you right now. I think sometimes we're thinking so far in the future, but we forget the next minute. And we need to start, Lord, illuminate the next minute of my life, and I'm going to live that minute for you. I'm going to live that minute in unity. I'm going to live that minute in forgiveness. I'm going to live that minute in prayer. I'm going to live that minute in the Word of God and living right. So that'd be a great way to start. This is nothing like the first service. I don't know where this one's going. Anyhow, it goes on to say, verse 10, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the revealer of those imaginings. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. You know something? There are secrets that we don't know about life. There are secrets we don't know spiritually. There are secrets we don't know about our future. But God reveals those things through your spirit. That's where some people are gifted with a prophetic voice. A prophecy means it can speak into things, into the future that haven't happened yet. But God wants to illuminate the church with a prophetic voice as well. So the Holy Spirit is about revealing, unveiling things of God that we could not understand in any other way. What we know is limited. What we think is limited. What we can do is limited. The Holy Spirit reveals what we should know, how we should think, and what we can do. And I want you to experience that kind of living. In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, it says, now you've got to catch this, get your mitts out. Everyone get your mitts out. Come on, Pauline's ready. Get your mitts out to catch this. This is the most important thing that you'll probably get all year. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. So just close your eyes and tell yourself this quietly. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. You can open your eyes. See the key point. It says there in Galatians 5, the Holy Spirit produces the fruit. And so, and we know there's nine fruits of the Spirit. That's love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're fruits of the Spirit. And we often, what did I not say them right? Patience. Oh yeah, well, we don't want that one there. I must have deleted that. We don't need that one. I knew there was nine. But the Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. And I think a lot of our Christian experience, listen to this, get your mitts out, is we thought, I've got to be a good Christian, so I've got to produce these fruits in my life. And so we thought, I'm crippled, I'm buckled, I'm bent, I'm defective Christian because I can't produce these things. Here's the key, is when we allow more of the Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit produces the fruit. Because so often we're thinking, hey, I'm producing, look at what I can produce. Oh, gee, I'm really good. I'm so good, look at what I can produce. And we think we're producing some pretty sour, rotten fruit. But when the Holy Spirit, the more of the Spirit within you, you produce the Holy Spirit will produce something in you. That's a powerful revelation there today. Someone who's not a hugger, after the first service came and gave me a big hug and said, thank you very much. I really need to hear that. Another man, I'm not a man hugger. I'm like, okay, if that's what you need to do. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, the Holy Spirit is into producing a church that is rich in revelation like that. Not just tradition. So some people are proud of their tradition. Even Pentecostals can say, oh, we've got our Pentecostal tradition. And we become very proud of that. And we want to stop at that point. But we need to be understanding that traditions is maintenance. And sometimes we have traditions to maintain some things. But We want to live in a revelation that is breakthrough and choose the breakthrough kind of life that comes through the Holy Spirit, that reveals a revelation to our next step, to where we are to go next. So I want to be keen on the things of that the Spirit brings for my life. And I know there are those who truly want to live and move in the Holy Spirit. And I want to be in a church that desires that as well. I want to be in a church where people are desiring the things of the Spirit, that will sacrifice some of the earthly things so that they can gain the spiritual things and go after those things. So in Acts chapter 8 verse 17, it says, "Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers and they received the Holy Spirit." I believe it's a very powerful thing, the laying on of hands. And that's why when we have prayer times, we say, and I want you to get more used to this. When we have prayer times in church, we say, come out the front. Let us pray for you. We lay hands. We're doing what the Bible says. And we're believing for an impartation of faith, for healing, for provision, for jobs, for relationships to be restored, whatever. We're believing for that. But another thing that we want to lay hands on people is to receive the Holy Spirit. There's something that is imparted through the church to other people in the church when they have hands laid on them to receive the Spirit. So I want to give you an illustration of what life in the Spirit is like. And so there's a story in 2 Kings 4 verse 1 to 6. And it's the story of a widow whose husband was, well, I would say he was in the ministry. He was a pastor or he was a prophet. It says that he was among the school of the prophets. And he's died and he's left no money for his wife and family. So they're broke, they're destitute. And it says that there's creditors come, or we'd say today, the bankers come and said, "We've taken everything of value and you still owe us more. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to sell your sons." And so they put a price on them and say, "We'll sell your sons and then we'll cancel the rest of the debt." So she goes to the prophet Elisha, the man of God, and says, "My money's gone. My stuff is all gone. I've sold everything and the bank still wants more. They even want to sell my sons. I'm desperate and I don't know what to do." And this is what I want us to be like in the spiritual sense when we live with the Holy Spirit. Elisha asks her, "What have you got in the house?" She replies, "Nothing at all." And then she looks around, says, the bank took everything. They took the couch, the coffee table, the beds, the blankets, everything. So she looks around, he says, "What have you got in the house?" She says, "Oh, nothing, nothing at all except this small little flask of oil." Because even the bank looked at it and said, "That's worthless. Let her have it." They took everything else, said, "Let her have that, you know, scungy looking oil jar. Let her have that." And she says, "Nothing at all except this flask of olive oil." And I want to tell you something. That's a good thing to have when you have nothing else. If we could use that analogy of the oil being the Holy Spirit, when you have nothing else, be sure that you have some of the Spirit left. So you could lose a marriage. You could lose a job. You could lose a child. You could lose a ministry. There are so many different things that we can lose in this life, but the Holy Spirit says, make sure you keep a little bit of oil left. So I'm going to show you what happens. So Elisha says, "Now, okay, you've got a little bit of oil. Now go and borrow as many jars as you can. Go and borrow containers from everyone. Ask your friends, ask your neighbors. Go and get containers from anywhere you can." And they collected empty jars until the house was full of empty jars. And she's thinking, "Well, what are we going to do with all this?" So she doesn't know the plan yet. She's going, "Okay, we went out, got the boys, went and got all these empty containers from every neighbor. We filled the house with them." And then he says to her, "Pour the oil from your flask into the jars." And she begins to pour out of that little bit that she had, out of this small little container. She starts to pour jug after jug. And she fills that one. And then she fills that one. And then she fills another one. And then she fills another one. And she tells her sons, keep bringing more jars. Come on, keep bringing them to me. And they keep bringing her jars. And she keeps pouring out of her small, insignificant little flask of oil. It just keeps pouring more and more supernaturally. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing that's going on here. And she thought she had nothing, but she had this little flask of oil. And the most important element we have in the church is our flask of oil. No matter what else we might lose, we can't do without the oil. So we could do without a lot of things in church. We could do without so much of what we do, but we need to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our church. We need to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our preaching, in our worship, in our kids' church areas, right throughout the church. We need to have a little bit of oil of the Spirit. Because when that starts to flow, it begins to change everything around us. So the olive oil in the tabernacle that kept the light on the bread of the presence, it's the Holy Spirit that illuminates the Word of God, the bread of life. It's the Holy Spirit in you that will activate the light of revelation to those parts of your life that are left empty by the circumstances of life. You need that Holy Spirit to be burning on the Word that will illuminate the future, will illuminate God's plan. I'll get the musicians to join me back. And it says when there were no empty jars, when there was no empty jars left, it says the oil stopped flowing. And then Elisha says to this widow, now sell the oil, pay your debts, and live on what's left over. So, living in the Spirit is supernatural life. Supernatural living. You want to be part of the church, you've signed up to a supernatural life. You might not know that yet. You might not want that yet. But when you connect yourself in the house of God, you've bought into the supernatural life. So you might as well have the power of that supernatural in you because it's what God's expecting. So living in the Spirit, the supernatural life, it doesn't come naturally to you. You have to tend to it continually. You got to keep it up with fresh oil. Keep the fresh oil in your life. So this is what happens next. She goes to a neighbor and says, hey, neighbor, that empty jar I borrowed, here it is. You can have it back. It's filled with oil. Now this lady's broke. She's destitute. She's got nothing. The neighbor dips her finger in for a taste and she says, that's the best oil. So she gets out her purse and she gives her some money. So she's now got some money. She goes down the street to another neighbor and same story. You know that empty jar that I borrowed? Here it is, full of oil. That neighbor says, I haven't got any money, but here, have some eggs. So she gives her some eggs and then she says, hang on a minute. Here, have a chicken. So she can make her own eggs now. So she's got some eggs and a chicken and some money. So things are starting to turn around. She goes down the street to the butcher and she says, hey, butcher, you know that empty jar I borrowed? Here it is, full of oil. He says, wow, this is good oil. So he goes to the till and he gives her some more money. Then he wraps up some steak and some chops and a sausage. He says, here, have this. There's a big jar of oil. He gave it. She says, here, have this, be blessed. And he says, hang on a minute. Unties the goat out the back and says, here, have this goat as well. So now she's a chicken farmer and a goat farmer. And she's got money. And she's being blessed. The next thing she sees a hairdresser. Her hairdresser was Shirley. And she goes to the hairdresser. She says, hey, that empty jar I borrowed. Here it is. It's full of oil. The hairdresser says, oh, hang on a minute. She rustles around, gives her some money. She says, here, have some money. She says, well, hang on, wait a minute. Here's some money, but come back. So she gives her a haircut, gives her a color and a perm, and sends her home blessed. Then the next thing you know, she walks down the street again and she sees the bank manager. She punches him in the face and goes home satisfied. No, there was no bank manager. She only did nice things. You need to change that one with the dentist. She does the same to the dentist. It depends. But one flask of oil, the widow effected change that reached everyone in her town. One flask of oil. Who would have thought that flask of oil could lift her from her trouble and bless everyone around her? And I want to tell you something. The most important thing the church has is the flask of oil. And we've often misunderstood devalued the value of the oil, devalued the value of the church and that unity that keeps it all pure. You remember it said, take pure olive oil. We want to take out the contamination from out of our thoughts, the contamination out of our hearts sometimes, and start saying, God, I want to be a producer of the pure oil that burns a pure fire, that creates a beautiful atmosphere that can change everything around it. Who would have thought? See, the church and people filled with the Holy Spirit is like that flask of oil when nothing else is left, and it can change every desperate situation. I'm going to just ask if perhaps if we could stand to our feet together today. When it comes to your life, when it comes to ministry, when it comes to living, make sure you've got yourself a flask of pure oil. Understand the value of the oil. Understand the value of the oil today. Because I think one of the issues that we see in the modern church is we've devalued the presence of the Holy Spirit. We've devalued the oil. We've contaminated that oil. And God will never see a pure light on His Word until we see some pure oil burning on the lamp of our heart. So Luke 11 verse 13, Jesus said, if people know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So I want to pray and lay hands on people today. Don't be too proud or too stubborn to say, I don't need that. I'll do that some other day. Today's the day. Allow the Holy Spirit to do something new and fresh in you. Say, I'm going to believe the Word of God that says when the apostles laid hands, there was an impartation of the Holy Spirit. Same Bible, same God, same Jesus, same Holy Spirit that does today. So we're going to pray and lay hands on people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you could come out here and sit and we'll pray for you. And to stay in the presence of God and allow the Spirit to start to permeate you. Another thing if you're here and you need illumination on the Word of God, maybe you think, I can't read the Bible. It just doesn't seem to work for me. I find it hard. Pauline, can you just start praying here? We're going to start straight away. Maybe someone stand behind. Claire, get. So we have trouble understanding the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to say, Lord, I want to respond to receive something today so I have a pure illumination on your Word. Because you're never going to live the fullness of what you could be if you're not living in that revelation. And maybe you need clarity for direction for the next step in your life. The oil's flowing over you, over your decisions, over your next. What God wants is to put in you some pure oil, some Holy Spirit fire that will light the way. It's not according to our feelings. It's according to a revelation of the Holy Spirit to the Word of God that God has given us. It says the apostles laid hands on people and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And God will do that here to those who would desire that experience today. It's not a knowledge, it's not a head knowledge that God wants in our lives. It's a relationship. And He wants to burn a pure oil into us. So as we sing, I invite you to come. If you need to come, then come on down. We love to pray with you, believe with you. could be your next step that you need. It could be direction. It could be understanding, a breakthrough of understanding His Word and living in the revelation. So don't be stubborn. Don't hold back. If you need to respond, then we invite you to come. And we love to pray with you, believing for that breakthrough.